Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Right now the time, 8:16, you are tuned to WGNS. Temperature outside, 65 degrees, and this morning we do have another political forum on the air. And this morning it is the 49th District State House of Representatives, and our guest today is incumbent Mike Sparks and also candidate Robert Stevens are both joining us on the air. And the way we're going to do this morning, we're going to each allow them 2 minutes open time, and they can just talk about themselves and why they're running, and in Mike Sparks' case, why he's running again. And they'll be talking for 2 minutes each. And then after that, we will have a few questions for them. Then we'll take some calls as well. So if you want to call in, you can go ahead and dial in 893-1450, and then we'll put you on hold. Then you can ask a question, and the question needs to be for both candidates. So it does not need to be directed towards one candidate or the other. It just needs to be an open question that both can answer. And during this political forum, because there's only two persons here, there's only two running, we're just going to allow you to, whoever wants to answer first, can just jump right in there and answer. So we're not going to go back and forth. We're not going to say, okay, you answer this one and then the next one you got. Instead, both of y'all can jump in, answer whichever question you like. And if you want to respond to the answer that the other candidate gave, just go ahead and respond however you wish. That way it's just more of a conversation style. I think that's a lot easier. So this morning, first we're going to start out with State Representative Mike Sparks to give his opening statement. Then after that, we'll go to Robert Stevens. So yeah.
Good to be here, Scott. Thanks for the invite. Appreciate the impact that WGNS makes on Rutherford County. I'm Mike Sparks, 47, born and raised in Smyrna, born at Old Seward Air Force Base. And my father was World War II stationed here, and that's why we moved here to Smyrna. My mother's from Scotland, been married 25 years, just celebrated our 25-year anniversary. Have two boys, Preston and Peyton, 22 and 24. Run my own business since I was 21, worked at Nissan for about 8 years. Just growing up, being in the public school system, being MTSU, and my business background, and also just my county commission experience of 8 years, Smyrna planning experience of 9 years. And running a small business, you learn to make a payroll. You see the difficulties that small business owners face. Tax increases, excessive regulation, whether we call it mandates or whatnot on small businesses, it does have an impact. And instead of that company maybe hiring an additional employee or two, excessive regulation ends up, that's where the money gets spent sometime. Increased tax assessments, or whether it's more taxes on them, ends up impacting that business. People today are struggling now probably more than ever. I hear it from the business community, I hear it from families. And, here it may be from a widow in their 70s or 80s, but families are struggling, and I'm running to make a positive impact, and I'll run on my record, and I'll run on the difference that I've made in this community, whether it's fighting the drug problem or improvements to Jefferson Pike, improvements with the congestion from Murfreesboro to Nashville. It's something I'm passionate about. I serve as vice chairman of transportation. Got an A rating from the Chamber of Commerce. NRA just gave me an A rating with the NRA. Just that some of the issues that I see, they have no lobbyists for. And people may think, well, the drug issue is not that big. That's an area I'm passionate about. I had somebody tell me yesterday that a local employer here, one reason they were having a difficult time keeping employees is because passing the drug test, So the drugs have an economic impact in an adverse manner. Our prison budget increased $46 million. Our state budget was in the hole $279 million. So the drug issue, whether, someone thinks it doesn't impact them, it does impact them from a fiscal cost. And they don't have no voices for those areas, Small businesses, I'll be the voice for small businesses, and I'll be the voice for just the common guy just out there just trying to put a loaf of bread on the table and make ends meet. But thank you for the forum, and thank you for being here.
And now we're going to go to Robert Stevens. Robert?
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Robert Stevens, and I'd like to first thank you for hosting this forum today and providing the electorate with an opportunity to learn more about their candidates for state representative. I've been a resident of Rutherford County for about 27 years, and I love the community. My family and I have had many great experiences here, and we need to maintain our outstanding quality of life. As I learned by becoming an Eagle Scout, everyone serving the community is what makes it great. After high school, I went to Lipscomb University, where I got a BA in political science with honors. And after that, I went to University of Memphis Law School, and I graduated from there with honors. And now I have two successful small businesses. My sister and I work together in a law practice in Smyrna, and I've also got a rental business that I have on the side as well. And both of those are growing and thriving, and I've been very blessed with the opportunities that we have here in Rutherford County. And as a small business owner, I understand the ins and outs of how the business works and the frustration that other business owners face, especially from government. In 2010, I decided to run for the county commission, and I was elected to that, and it's been a very, very rewarding experience for me. Since then, I've made every effort to be a conservative leader on that body. I'm a fiscal conservative in word and deed. My voting record matches what I say. I'm not afraid to make tough choices, and I will take a stand if need be. I voted against the 2013 proposed property tax increase. There were other areas that we could have reduced our operating cost, and I provided alternatives to what the majority of commissioners ultimately passed. I've stood up for business owners when some people wanted to put restrictions and burdens on them. I've been a proponent for using technology as a way to reduce spending and unnecessary printing expenses, and this has also made county government more transparent. My voting history on the county commission is consistently conservative. I decided to run for state representative this year for several reasons. District 49 needs a representative who will listen and be responsive, and I have a history of doing that on the commission. We need someone positive, professional, and ethical representing us in Nashville. I have a track record of conducting myself in that manner on the county commission. With all the great things we have going on here in Rutherford County, we need an ambassador to tell our good story up there in Nashville. And we also need a representative who has strong relationships with our local leaders, and I do with all of them. Working well as a team will benefit our whole community. So I look forward to answering your questions and sharing my vision for District 49 this morning.
Again, that was Robert Stevens, and we are going to take some phone calls here in just a second. Our number, 893-1450. We are also going to get to a couple of questions here that we have as well, and we've got some questions dealing with law enforcement, some questions dealing with health care, and also some questions dealing with illegal immigration. I'm not sure that we'll get to all these questions in between the phone calls, but we'll go ahead and start off with the first one. And it actually involves a news story that was on the air this morning, and that is about the militarization of local law enforcement departments. That is becoming a reality in the state of Tennessee, and local agencies are getting military guns, vehicles, and more. What are your thoughts on this in the state of Tennessee?
Well, you do hear some concerns on that. You know, I mean, I think just look to our law enforcement. I know our chiefs and our sheriff, I have the utmost respect for them, and I feel like they have the community at heart. You know, you have a lot of fear, I guess, when people see some of the all the problems that we see, especially at the federal level, and some of the violence and encroachment from the federal government. You know, I have the utmost respect for them. It doesn't scare me. I'm not afraid of my own community, my own law enforcement. They are about the community. They're about saving and protecting lives and serving.
That was State Representative Mike Sparks. Would you like to respond?
Sure. I also agree that they need the tools and the equipment necessary to do their jobs, and I think that we have great law enforcement in all of our communities and in the sheriff's office here locally, and I personally am not too worried about that.
That was Robert Stevens. I'm going to get to one more of these questions here, then we'll go ahead and open up the phone lines, 893-1450. One of the other questions we have here dealing with medical marijuana, we've seen a lot about this over the past, past couple of years, really, in news stories, heard a lot about it as well. Colorado legalizing marijuana. Locally, we have gotten emails here at the station suggesting that they're actually upset that persons are still getting arrested for marijuana usage with tax dollars. In other words, tax dollars going to pay police to arrest persons for marijuana use. Because people are, I guess you would say, getting used to the idea of marijuana being legalized, even though it's not yet. So what are your thoughts on marijuana being legalized? First, just legal across the board. Second, the idea of it used for medical marijuana purposes.
Well, I'm against marijuana being legalized just across the board for any kind of recreational use, for sure. We don't want Tennessee to become a drug magnet for everybody to come here and do their transactions. The medical marijuana is a little bit more difficult issue. I'm not a healthcare professional, I know there are people out there with conditions who could benefit from using that, and I think it's an issue that deserves a great amount of study, and I would certainly want to research the issue thoroughly and understand the medical community's concerns on that, as also the patients and the community at large. If it is something that the state decides to do, I would only be supportive of that if it was issued by a doctor with a prescription, and a pharmacist is where you got your prescription for that. I don't think that it should be something that you could get anywhere. It does appear that it's growing in popularity. I do have some concerns with it, but it's an issue that we really need to look at and study carefully.
You know, I was on Open Line last week with Ben Hall and Jamon Davis with CADCOR, and then Rodney Bragg with mental health and substance abuse. And that's a call that always comes in. I've done that show probably four times, and we'll talk about this prescription drug epidemic that we're facing. That is an issue that I get a lot of folks that ask me about it. I don't look at polling, but if you look at polling, it polls high, and I don't base my decisions on polls, but I will share this. First of all, we have a drug epidemic in the state of Tennessee. I'll be the leading advocate on that. There will not be another legislator or senator or state house member that will be as aggressive or convicted and passionate about solving the problems. Those problems, like I say, not only does it devastate families, but it impacts the budget. There's an argument, is medical marijuana, is it really a gateway drug? I don't know. That's subject to debate. You know, I have a family member that works for DEA, and I hear the concerns from them. The heroin problem is really big, but medical marijuana, you know, my stepfather's battling lung cancer right now. He's 84 years old, and have a lot of respect. Dr. William Chance, he was a state investigator for 25 years and director of the Board of Pharmacy at one time for the state. And I've asked his opinion. He said, I remember when it was legal. He said, Michael, I remember delivering it to people when it was legal. I'm always open to discussion. I think it's an issue that's not going away. And I think, it's something to, people want to explore it, people want to call and debate it, I don't have a problem with it, but I think it's something that's coming. And for me to sit there and tell somebody, you know, you're battling cancer and you have 4 months to live, you know, it's a difficult choice as a legislator. It really is. I mean, I could easily say I'm against all this, but you still have to think about that person and what they're battling. But there's medical drug out there now. Dronabinol is the pill form that they have, which is the cannabis pill form. It is expensive though, but it's an issue out there. And I tell you, it's probably one of the biggest questions I get. We were at the park in Smyrna the other day, and that's what most people were asking me about, was medical marijuana, believe it or not.
Right now the time, 8:29. So what we're going to do now is take our first break. Then when we come back, we'll go ahead and grab the phone calls that are on hold. And we will let people call in and ask the candidates any question they may have. And just remember, the questions need to be, you know, something that both of them can answer, not directed towards one candidate or the other. And throughout this next half the program, candidates are just going to dive in, answer how they want right off the bat. I mean, we're not going to wait for one, then go the other. I mean, you guys can just answer, not in any particular order. Our number is 893-1450. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Again, time 8:30 right now.
Hi, this is Dave Kivenimi at Music World and Drummer's Den. Here at Music World and Drummer's Den, we've got a great lesson program for all ages and all levels. Tom Seymour is our instructor on guitar, bass, and keyboards. He has a degree in music composition from the University of Georgia. Learning here, it's learn as you go and have a great time. This is Dave Kivenimi at Music World and Drummer's Den on South Church Street across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Hello, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurant, a family restaurant tradition for four generations, now in our 24th year, serving our most popular menu item, great-tasting oven-baked chicken soup. Back in 1989, when my mom and dad were planning Demas's, they debated whether baked chicken soup should even be on the menu. Both agreed that it was a good item, but they weren't sure it would be accepted. Because my dad and his sisters had eaten it all of their lives, especially when anybody had a bad cold, they decided to risk it. They did it, and now I can say the rest is history. We made over 65,000 gallons last year and make more every day. We sell it by the cup, bowl, quart, or gallon. You can even freeze it for shipping or to save it for a later date. Give yourself a treat today. Baked chicken soup, buy it in the store, or get it to go. Demas's Restaurant in Murfreesboro, Lebanon, downtown Nashville, and Hendersonville. Get your chicken soup today.
At the Salvation Army Family Store, you can get bargain prices on clothes, furniture, household goods, electronics, and more. Here's Lieutenant Andy Seiler.
This is not a typical thrift store. It's really known for its customer service and for its cleanliness and how much variety we have. And the quality of what we get is great because we have great donors and great people in Rutherford County.
Your purchases go directly to fund Salvation Army programs here in Rutherford County. The Salvation Army Family Store is at 125 South Front Street. Open Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. until 6 p.m.
Play it again, sports!
Your baseball and softball headquarters.
Whether it's bats, gloves, pants, or training aids, we've got a great selection to get you on the diamond this summer. Name brands like Easton, Louisville Slugger, and Worth. But at Play It Again Sports Prices, we're on Thompson Lane.
Hear Financial Coaching Radio with local certified financial planner Jason Qualls. Weekdays 4 to 5 on WGNS. Rutherford County's place to talk. WeatherEye.
We'll see a few scattered showers and storms here this afternoon. Cloudy skies, a high in the mid-70s, and winds out of the east around 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, a chance for showers and storms, a low near 65. I'm WGNS meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 66.
This is Lisa Duke-Crowell. I am your Rutherford County Clerk. I am running for re-election, and I would appreciate your vote. I have made many positive changes at the County Clerk's office since I took office in 2010. I would love to continue serving the citizens of Rutherford County. Early voting begins July the 18th through August the 2nd. Election day is August the 7th. I hope to see you at the polls. I am asking for your vote.
Paid for by Lisa Duke-Crowell for Rutherford County Clerk. Jeff Crowell, Treasurer.
This is Lisa Duke-Crowell, and I approve this message.
The Action Line on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
Yeah, I don't know if y'all heard that Mickey Mouse sounding music a second ago, but Brian Barrett, he thinks it's funny to put in this bumper music that is played at a fast speed, so whenever I air it, it sounds silly. You know, it tries to make me look kind of goofy in front of the audience. That's okay, though. I'm going to get him back when he comes back into town. Time right now, 8:33. This morning, we got a political forum on the air. And this morning, we got the candidates who are running for the 49th District State House of Representatives with us. So you have incumbent Mike Sparks, and also you have candidate Robert Stevens on the air with us. We're going to go ahead and open up those phone lines, and we'll dive in right now. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Hello.
Hey, go ahead.
Hey, I'm kind of interested. I want to hear what each of y'all personally have done in the community or do currently to make it better.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Well, I'm involved very heavily with my church, Smyrna Church of Christ. I'm in the Rotary Club of Smyrna, Smyrna Independent Merchants Association. I'm involved with the Chamber of Commerce and, of course, the Rutherford County Republican Party. At my church, I'm on the youth committee. I teach the junior high Sunday school class, and some of the guys in the group also work on anonymous service projects. There's a group called Long-Term Disaster Recovery Organization that I was involved with and helped start a few years ago after the May flood, and we were able to secure a grant from the Community Foundation and help repair some homes in Smyrna and Laverne that were damaged during that humongous flood. Through my law office, I do a great amount of pro bono work for clients and then nonprofits, and the last year, we've done a lot of work with historical preservation, with some cemeteries in Smyrna, and helped get those cleaned up and the title straightened out so that they could be maintained permanently. And, of course, we also are involved with fundraising for nonprofits, and I enjoy going to support those and contributing to those because they do a lot of good work for our residents. So I'm very involved in the community, and I love being a part of it.
And that was Robert Stevens.
Yeah. Well, Mike Sparks, and I guess being a Smyrna Rotarian, we helped start the we got the fish fry going. I led the effort on the sponsorship program that's been one of the most successful projects, and probably the most successful project in Smyrna. We've raised over, what, Robert, probably $500,000, $550,000 right there. 10-0 Drug Task Force, something I'm involved in. Just finished the TBI's Citizens Academy and first legislator to go through that, learning more about the impact of law enforcement and what they're doing to curb some of the drug problems that we're facing. Real involved Parkway Baptist Church. There's a foreclosure task force in Laverne, and I'm involved with that group, which is a Christ Church up there. I do also with WGNS, Smart, the Rutherford issues. We've been doing that show since 06, having different guests, whether it's a small business owner, whether it's a local county commissioner, a city councilman. Mayor Mosley's been on with us on several occasions. We've done some remotes there. We've done some remotes from the lake. Some of the issues we'll take on maybe Bernard Salandi with the corrections, he may be on with us. Maybe the sheriff, maybe Jamon Davis with CADCOR talking about alcoholism and what they're doing to educate young people in school. Maybe some school teachers or some school principals that's been up. We've had some good shows. In fact, if you go to YouTube and type in WGNS, you'll see some of our videos. In fact, we were using video. Ian Arsenault, Ian was with me last night. He was my IT guy for many years. And what we would do is video the shows, you know, and we were using video before the Daily News Journal. We were using video before WGNS. You know, I remember Bart Walker was like, wow, I didn't know y'all were doing that, you know. But it was neat, and Ian has got a heart for the community. We've done some remotes from Smyrna West Alternative School, Smyrna High School. And I think the challenges that young people face today are stronger now and more difficult now more than ever. But just a community I was born and raised in and plan on retiring, you know, you'll be very passionate about it.
We'll go ahead and take another phone call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I've heard a good bit, at least over the airwaves the last year or two, relative to the issue of the per diem managing of expenses. I'd like very much to know what these candidates, how they respond to that particular issue as far as the per diem expenses are concerned. And again, thanks for taking the call, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you.
Well, I think that taking the per diem is wrong. If you live locally within, you know, driving distance to the Capitol, I don't think that people should be pocketing hotel expenses that they're not using. I don't know how someone could look at the taxpayers with a straight face and say that that's acceptable. I don't think it's fiscally conservative to take a hotel reimbursement when you're sleeping in your own bed at night. Actions speak louder than words, and a lot of people commute to work every day and they don't get a gas and food and hotel reimbursement. That's just part of the job. So I think the per diem's a big waste, big wasteful and abusive expenditure for our state government. And some legislators return those payments back to the state, and if I get elected, that's what I'll do. And as I understand, I think that there was a reform in the last year or two to reduce what local legislators get, and that was certainly a step in the right direction. I think that we need to do more for that, though, because it still is a wasteful expense. And I've heard some people say in the past that it's a way that legislators can boost their pay because they don't make much money. But the logic in that argument is flawed because the legislature is not a job, it's community service. And people know what the salary is when they run, and nobody is making anybody run for the office. So I think that the answer to the question is that I don't think it's right for people to take the per diem who live locally, and I won't do it.
Yeah.
And that was Robert Stevens.
Well, that's, you know, every time in politics, this comes up every 2 years. There was some reform, and I voted to lower our own pay, you know. That's something in the law. You know, we are one of the lowest paid state legislators in the nation. You know, it's a difficult job to try to do and make a living at. That's why you end up having a lot of lawyers, such as the commissioner here, that run. And, you know, actions do speak louder than words. And, you know, if he's going to donate his money back, how come are you doing that right now with your county commission? You know, I mean, actions do speak louder than words. So, you know, donate your salary from the county commission back to the county. And, you know, I don't do this job for the money. If I did, I wouldn't. It just, you couldn't do it. The money's not there. I'll be one of the legislators that will raise the lowest amount of money. And 2 years ago, I spent the lowest on my reelection campaign. I don't go hit up all these big donors. I'm known for not calling a lot of folks. And I don't want to be beholden to big corporate And but you have to rely on folks to buy signs and so forth. But I spent the lowest on my reelection efforts 2 years ago, and it's something I pride myself on. I just finished my third book. The book's called How to Do More with Less During Tough Times. How to Do More with Less During Tough Times. I've learned how to be very resourceful, and that's what the state needs, is to be resourceful. But you know, folks talk about not carrying a salary, but the folks that's going to do that are folks that's either independently wealthy or can run a law practice while they're up there. And that's what you end up getting. You get folks that can run law practice while they're in session. And that's the only job that really flows with that. You know, it's a difficult position. They say it's part-time, but you end up really being, I mean, the issues aren't part-time though, Scott. And this issue comes up. It came up with Joe Carr a few years ago. It comes up with pretty much every legislator across the state. And, you know, actions, I want people to judge me on what I've accomplished across the state. And I know I've had a strong impact on this, whether it's being the voice for when I see salaries, and actions do need to speak louder words. And I'll challenge the caller. You know, my first bill when I was up there was freezing the salaries of the mayor, the sheriff, the trustee. People thought I was crazy. They're like, are you serious about running this bill? I'm like, yes, these are raises of $8,000 to $10,000. My bill, I probably found more savings than any freshman legislator in the state of Tennessee. And I'll challenge someone to dispute that right there. It was $13 million worth of savings. But you're like, why would you do that? I took on people that donated to me, but I thought it was the right thing to do. When I couldn't get the lowest man on the rung with the county is the solid waste guys. I had to fight to get them a quarter raise. And I'll challenge the commissioner, because that's a setup call. Someone's calling, and Robert had that set up. And I'll challenge him, what's he done for the lowest employee? I watched him vote against the solid waste employees getting a raise, but he didn't challenge the top officials that get a pay raise. I watched the guy get a $25,000 pay raise in his county, and we were going to lay off county employees. This is shameful. Now, you know, actions do speak louder than words, and I'm going to be that voice that will challenge that disparity. And I've challenged that for the past 12 years as a county commissioner. I spoke up. In fact, Commissioner Stevens used to call me for advice. He's been to my fundraisers. He's donated to me. One of my last events a few months ago, we raised a lot of canned goods. And I'll compliment the commissioner. He brought many canned goods to my fundraiser. And I appreciate his donation. I appreciate him being involved in helping me and always calling me for advice up until, you know, probably last year. You know, he didn't call me anymore. All of a sudden now I've become unethical and this and that. But at the time, I guess I had the standards that he wanted to call and pick my brain, and he even would cut up and say, yeah, people said I've replaced you because I'm speaking up and this and that. I'm like, that's great. I'll offer anybody encouragement that calls me. But the per diem issue, that always comes up every year. And, you know, if someone's I'm not wealthy enough just to donate it back. It'd be nice, but if people want someone that's that wealthy, they're probably not going to be in touch with their issues like me. They're not going to be speaking up for the guy at Solid Waste. They're not going to speak up for the school teacher that's struggling, or the guy operating the backhoe, or the codes enforcement person that goes without a pay raise.
Again, that was Mike Sparks. And again, because there's only two candidates here today, you guys are welcome to respond to each other's answers. I'm not against that at all. We'll go ahead and open up the line three now, I believe. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
How you doing today?
Doing good.
Thank you. I was just wondering about the commute from Murfreesboro to Nashville. I was just wondering, has anybody heard anything on the commuter train might be back in play on that? And, it's a shame that some of these people getting these real big high salaries and stuff that, there's people out there that would work for a whole, do that job for a lot less and still be making good money. And it's a shame that these people's making all that money that somebody else could be doing for a lot less and do just as good or maybe a better job. And I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. So the question was about the commuter rail line, basically. And will that happen, or do you hope that that happens, and will you help make it happen?
Well, we're going to have to look at some alternative forms of transportation if we're going to continue to grow at the rate that we are. I'm not sure that the mass rail is the way to go, but right now I think everybody would agree with the interstate's packed, it's congested, and if we have all these people that are projected to move into our community come in, they're going to have a way to get to work too. So we are going to have to look at some alternative ways to reduce the traffic on the interstate and do more with less. So I would certainly be supportive of any ideas that people might have to reduce the traffic on the interstate, and I think it's only going to continue to get worse as time goes by, so we need to be very proactive and look for solutions now, and I will certainly listen and be involved in those discussions.
Yeah, I was with Commissioner John Shore with TDOT and Senator Jim Tracy the other day we do an annual transportation tour of this area. We'll often ride to Shelbyville and look at some other projects that's going on with the state, Bedford County, Marshall County. I serve as vice chairman of transportation. I do have to fight that traffic. My constituents, 65,000 constituents, have to fight that traffic. So there's probably not anyone more passionate about that issue than in the entire Rutherford County than myself. If Lord willing, if I'm reelected, I hope to be chairman next year of the committee. Probably the most cost-effective, efficient manner on the transportation is going to be the BRT, which is a bus rapid transit system. Rail is going to be very difficult. Bob Spivey, former mayor of Smyrna, Bob Spivey, I've always kind of considered him somewhat of a mentor, and I always remember what Bob would tell me about transportation and logistics and so forth with getting to Nashville. I don't foresee us picking up another rail line. CSX. To be able to do that, the right-of-way acquisition cost is going to be very, just enormous to be able to fund. We have to just get people to be a little bit more independent and or less independent and get involved more in the mass transit system. We have the best road system in the nation. We have the zero debt when it comes to funding our roads, but we're in some serious times. The Federal Highway Trust Fund was going to be insolvent next month, which is a serious issue. They have some temporary funding going on now to fund the road projects, but I stay in touch with Paul Deggs, chief engineer. It's a serious issue, but the BRT, in fact, go to YouTube and type in bus rapid transit system and you'll see some good projects that's out there. Canada has a good system, and we need to kind of follow that template. The AMP project in Nashville, that got to be a really hot topic. I wasn't for that AMP system. It was $33 million per mile. I didn't think it was cost effective. And if any corridor needs to have some attention, it's the Murfreesboro-Nashville corridor. And Senator Bill Kutcher and I ran a bill this year. And it was on a transportation study, and also part of that equation was going to be potential for a monorail. It would be very pricey, no doubt. But the BRT system is the most cost efficient manner that I see. It's going to be hard to just continue to add lanes with federal dollars. It's not going to be there. We rely on those federal funds, but with technology, I had a guy from India this morning I was dealing with, and we've got to bring technology to the table. And there's some good things out there, like the Uber, with the car, like the taxi situation. That's pretty pretty innovative, but the BRT is in my opinion going to be the way to go. But they're predicting us to hit about 600,000 in the next 20-25 years. So it's a big issue that we need to really focus on. And I will focus on that as chairman of transportation.
All right, we'll go to the next call. Good morning, you're on WGNS.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I'd like to know y'all's realistic opinion on legalization of marijuana. And I'm not for it, I'm against it. I'm against alcohol. But we have to look realistically here. Take the morality issue aside for a moment. You see an acceptance in society of this stuff more growing every day, and wouldn't it be realistic to turn this into a revenue source than spending money to try to fight it? And look how much money Colorado has made in the last year, and it also frees up law enforcement resources where they can fight the hard drugs, the serious drugs that can kill you. Right now we're in a heroin epidemic, and we've had all kinds of deaths this year, even some famous people dying from heroin. It would free up law enforcement resources to go after the hard drugs, heroin, meth, crack, things like that. Again, take the morality issue aside, and what is y'all's realistic view on legalization of marijuana? Now hang up and listen. Thank you.
I thought we already covered that fairly well. Do you guys want to add anything to that?
Go ahead.
Well, I don't think that we need to legalize it just across the board. I think the negative consequences of doing that are going to be just as bad as all this revenue that would supposedly come in, and people would get addicted to it, and you've got all the problems that come along with drugs in general. So I just can't support legalizing it across the board.
Well, you know, I've called Colorado and I've called out there to some addiction treatment centers and talked to them, and those counselors are seeing what she called just a sense of lethargic with kids, you know, kids that were once playing basketball that had a lot of energy. Now they're just, you know, they're getting hooked on this stuff. I'll predict that addiction is going to increase in Colorado. Yeah, they're going to have some improvement, you know, much like if we legalize gambling across the state. Yeah, you're going to have a revenue source, but you're also going to have people losing their homes and cars and things like that. So, and I don't think you can ever take the morality, and with all due respect to the caller, that's your foundation for any decision. At least it is for mine. And I know, you know, I voted against wine and grocery stores, and I mean, I went against a lot of folks on that. I stuck by my conviction on it. You know, I held up picket signs. I didn't think we need liquor stores in Smyrna. And, you know, I don't think you could ever take the sense of morality out of it, because that's probably where we're failing as a country, is the values are gone. You know, it used to be where, you know, a man, you know, if he got his girlfriend pregnant, he married the girl. You know, he didn't just go get six girls pregnant. Next thing you know, you've got six kids on the state's the welfare system. So the morality part is always going to be a part of it. One thing you don't hear, and the caller about the point about alcohol, our DUI arrests are up 91% since 2010. 91% since 2010. That's really not discussed in the media. That should be a front page headline. DUI arrests 91%. Look at the impact, the economic impact. To just loss of productivity, that guy gets a DUI. He's not worried. He may lose his job. What if that guy's a truck driver? What if he's a police officer? What if it's a school teacher? You know, and then the impact to the court system, the impact to the families. So going back on the tying it all back into marijuana, you know, there's a good argument that alcohol is worse than marijuana, medical marijuana. It's a big issue, and that's what I'm saying. If you're going to have, we'll have more callers. Probably the next call is maybe going to be on the same thing. But it's a serious issue that's out there, and I know with law enforcement, the heroin. I said that 4 years ago as a county commissioner, and I didn't just start being passionate about these issues as a state rep. I was passionate about these issues as a county commissioner, and I've seen the drug problem in my own family. Recently, I had a friend that just committed suicide. He had a drug problem, and every family, if they admit it, either has a family member or they know someone that's got a drug problem or alcohol problem. So it's something we got to get in on the front end and start treating. The heroin problem, it's a big issue. Got a local detective that's a friend of mine in Smyrna, and he's told me how many that the people that have just OD'd on heroin. My pastor, I was Pastor Dan Parker, Parkway Baptist Church, brought up heroin in a sermon one day and was talking about how bad this problem is. And it was kind of ironic the very next day that, was it Philip, is it Hoffman, was that his name? Mm-hmm. Hoffman had OD'd with heroin. You know, and it's getting to be the drug of choice. You know, when I was with TBI the other day, I asked one of the agents, I said, what's the biggest issue facing the state of Tennessee? And he said, oh, the drug problem, no doubt. He said, the drug problem. And he was worried about his two young girls. And he lived in Franklin, Tennessee. He said that problem, even in Franklin, is getting to be a problem. You know, I would think a rural area with heroin. He said, no. He said, it's some of your more affluent communities that are dealing with this. But this drug issue, I'm telling you, is the biggest issue facing the state. Because even if you don't care about helping people, you need to care about where your tax dollars go.
And that was Mike Sparks. And Robert Stevens is the one who first answered that question right after the call. We'll go ahead and take another phone call here. Back to line one, I believe. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah. Back to the gas tax road problem. The problem is that fund has been raided to build all these greenways with and the bus routes and stuff. It just didn't go for the roads. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Well, I assume that the caller is talking about the federal gas tax, and of course the office that we're running for has nothing to do with that and how they spend their money. I think that before we raise any kind of taxes, we've really got to find ways to improve efficiency and prioritize, and sometimes you just can't do everything that you want to do or need to do. You've got to decide what's most important, and I would not be in favor of increasing the gas tax in Tennessee when we could rework our priorities possibly and save money. And also, I'm not sure that the gas tax money is going to the greenways and so forth, but we appreciate the caller.
You know, I had a we had an open forum last night, just invited the community to the Smyrna Assembly Hall there, and appreciate the Parks and Rec Department allowing me to have that that forum. But that was something that was brought up by one of the people in the community. He brought up the bike lanes, you know, and he was really, I mean, the guy was really upset, and I was kind of surprised he was so upset about it. But he was like, Mike, I don't want my tax dollars going to fund bike lanes. And he said, you know, we're already having a tough time as it is. And I tend to agree with him. You know, we've got to set our priorities first, and Greenway shouldn't be a priority. I mean, a good safe road getting to work should be the priority, no doubt. But I know Bob Corker and some of those that are working to try to see how we're going to fund these projects, because these are some serious issues when we have aging infrastructure. I met with county road superintendent the other day, and I was asking the age of the average bridge in the county, you know, and he was over in Bedford County. And he said, well, Mike, some of them are 40 to 50 years old. Some of these bridges are getting that old. And I mean, do you really want your wife with your kids crossing that bridge? Do you really want your mom going under a bridge that's got aging concrete and so forth there? So these are serious issues, and funding is going to be the way to do it. And you can't go tax and spend your way out of problems. We've got to find innovative manners to do this, and government's got to do like I have. I mean, I just finished a book on how to do more with less during tough times, and that's what government's going to have to do, because we're in tough times. You can't just spend your way out of it.
Right now the time, 8:57. I'm going to try to fit in a couple of more calls here. Good morning, you're on WGNS. I'm sorry, go ahead. Must be calling from Mars this morning. Are you there? We can barely understand your phone. It's cutting out. All right, I'm going to move on to this next line. Good morning. Yes, good morning. You're on the air.
Okay, my question is to the gentleman. I don't know if we're in the prison system we have set up. I don't know if we're on contract private prisons, or is the state funding the prisons. If we're not contract, is there a future in contract in prison? Make it the cost a little cheaper that way? Basically, that's the question I have. And also on drugs and stuff like this, the increase of people using drugs, is there a program system that helps these folks get off drugs once they're convicted and whatever? Maybe they're somehow taken care of where they can get off these drugs eventually. That's my questions. And I appreciate the answers, and thank you for letting me speak.
Yeah, good question. I appreciate the caller asking that, because, you know, you have CCA. I toured their prison facility, and I asked the question with the warden, what are they doing to impact lives? Because 70 to 80% of those folks, whether it's female or male, are in there due to drugs and alcohol. It goes back to the premise of why I'm even seeking re-election, why I ran. There's no lobbyist for that person. There's no lobbyist for that drug addict, or, you know, these are serious issues. And I can tell you, the lobbyists are usually the people that are wanting to make a profit, no doubt. And CCA is in the profit business. If it makes sense, if the numbers make sense, I'm all about it. But CCA was doing some good programs. I went and sat with some inmates. I asked the warden, I said, do you mind if I go sit with those? There was about eight females sitting there and having lunch. And I just walked over, and they're kind of looking at me kind of odd, because I'm in a suit. And I just sat down and just talked to them. I said, how many of y'all dealing with a drug issue? Most of them raised their hand. I said, how many of y'all have kids? Most of them raised their hands. And you think about it, that lady's mother's probably raising that child, or the state's probably raising that child. I'd like for that caller to if you could, maybe call my office sometime, 741-6829. And we need more voices like you. And apparently you've got a passion for some of this, or you wouldn't have called in with a question. But, you know, I've talked to the sheriff about this. I've talked to judges. There needs to be more done, because when I was a commissioner, I used to get frustrated that we'd spend $600,000 on tennis courts, and we'd done nothing for the jail. I always done the jail tour as a county commissioner. when Truman was there, and I'd ask what we're doing, and it was, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic with or put anybody down, but I didn't feel like they were doing anything. And I often use the argument, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. If we just turned one person's life around and kept them from returning, that's $25,000 worth of savings. What if we set a little higher goal and said 10, that's a quarter million. What if we done 100? That's 2.5 million. But New Vision Baptist Church has stepped up. Franklin Road Baptist Church, Bel Air, they have some good programs that's trying to help celebrate recovery. And you've got to get pastors that are involved. A lot of times the church isn't involved. And, you know, if Christ was walking the streets of Murfreesboro in Rutherford County, I think he'd be involved. It's scriptural. You know, and Jesus himself said, you know, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. And, you know, to me, a Christian needs to be involved in that ministry. And if they don't have time to get involved, find a ministry and you write them a check. Even if it's just $5 or $500, get involved. A New Vision, Pastor Spurgeon over there is very involved. There's some really good people that's involved. Slandy is doing some good work over there. My friend Kathy Hines that you know with 10-0, she's doing some good work about the fatherless. But it goes back to the fatherless. Look at the correlation with the fatherless. There's some communities, over 70% of the children being born are born out of wedlock. Born out of wedlock. And you go run the numbers and you look at the statistics, that child most likely has a high probability of being incarcerated, high probability of being addicted to drugs, high probability of dropping out of school. So these are serious issues that unfortunately don't have a lobbyist. I will be that voice in Nashville, and I'll continue to be that voice in Nashville for these issues.
That was Mike Sparks.
Well, back to the caller's first question. He was talking about privatizing the prisons. I think that's a very good idea. There are some prisons that have contract services there that run them and keep the inmates secure and so forth. And if the budget is better and if we could find savings and still get the same quality of services, it might be worth pursuing that. I think the way that it's working now is probably very good, but I'm always open to listening to new suggestions, and I think that might be a way that we could save some money. And as to a second part of his question, there are some programs out there for people. I also wanted to say that the Correctional Work Center here in Murfreesboro came to mind. I'm on the county's Public Safety Committee, and we hear from Mr. Solandi every month, and it's always encouraging to see what is being done to help people get into the workforce and help them become stable, productive citizens again. And we have a very positive drug court here. It helps people, has a very good success rate. And I think that these types of programs are much better, much more cost effective over time than just locking people up and letting them out when their sentence is over.
Go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was going to say, you know, after my election 4 years ago, I took my opponent, Kent Coleman, to lunch, you know, and folks, a couple of people thought I was, you know, kind of critical of me taking my opponent lunch. And I asked him for advice and what to expect and so forth. And I told Kent, I said, it seems like people don't care about these issues. And the drug issue, you know, was big to me because I was seeing the impact in our community as a county commissioner. And Kent said, well, Mike, if it's never affected them, they probably really don't care, you know. And he gave me some really good advice on how to impact that. And I took that advice. I had lunch with Governor Haslam last year, and I had told the governor, I said, you know, it just seems like people don't care about these issues. I mean, I feel like most of your legislators, at least half of them, probably don't care. And he said, Mike, thank you for what you got to say. He said, you know, about the fatherless incarceration rate. And he says, you know, our prison budget increased $46 million, but he did add some drug courts. The drug courts, you know, do some good work here. I always appreciate what Solandi's doing out there. There's a little group called Hugs in Nashville that I work with, and I help them with a job fair, and Solandi's come out there with us, and we're bringing that to Rutherford County.
That is going to do it for this morning. We don't have time to grab the other calls, so let's go ahead and allow each candidate to kind of close out. And this morning we started with State Representative Mike Sparks, so we will now close with Robert Stevens.
Well, again, I just wanted to say thank you for hosting this, and thank you to the listeners who are getting involved and learning more about the candidates. I'm almost a lifelong resident of Rutherford County. I love our community. I'm very involved. I'm a small business owner. I've been on the county commission for 4 years. I've been an effective conservative leader there, and I want to represent our community in Nashville. I want to work on doing the same things in Nashville that we've been able to do locally to improve efficiency and reduce our operating costs with some of the state programs and departments. And I will listen. I'll be responsive. I would represent you in a positive, professional, and ethical manner. I have a proven record that's consistently conservative, and you can count on me to act the same way as a state legislator as I have as a county commissioner. Again, my name is Robert Stevens, and I would appreciate your vote. The early voting starts today at 10 o'clock, and it ends on August 2nd, and the actual election day is August 7th. That's in the Republican primary, and I'd appreciate your vote.
Yeah, Mike Sparks. Probably, like I say, my greatest accomplishment has been my marriage for 25 years, my wife Felicia. She stood by me. She was 15. I was 19. We started dating. And she brought two beautiful sons into my life, Preston and Peyton, I'm really proud of. And, you know, my first business was a fitness center in Smyrna by Wilson's Photography. It was a Hard Bodies Fitness. Run that for a few years and run some other businesses that have been. It's, I know how difficult it is to run a business. You know, I've authored three books, and I've took those experiences not only to my books but also to the legislature. You know, one thing that my opponent, instead of, you know, attacks and so forth that he's placed on me and my family, I'll ask him to run on his record, to run on my record. And, you know, I'll challenge him if he wants to do a form. I challenged him about a form last night, and he didn't make it. He didn't make it to the form last week. I'll run on my record. And I was born in the district, and there's not anybody as passionate for making a difference in Smyrna, Tennessee, than myself.
And that is going to do it for this morning. Again, our guests have been State Representative Mike Sparks and also candidate Robert Stevens. Right now, the time, 9:07. For anybody who missed the show, you can actually download it. We'll have it on podcast form on our website, WGNSradio.com. We will post that at about 9:30 this morning. Time right now, 9:07. It's a cool place, and they say it gets colder. You're bundled up now, wake till you're get older, but the media man.